Our scripture today is in Acts chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 14 through 21 and joining us for this reading are Carlos Acosta, Muzarat Shaheen, and David Zeladin. I encourage you to open up your Bibles and we'll be actually walking through most of chapter 2 as during the message today. So open your scriptures to chapter 2, verse 14. It is the rest of the story of Pentecost. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 13, the event of Pentecost, when they were all, when the followers of Jesus, about 120 or so, were all together in one place. And as it says in verse 2, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And this attracted the attention of many thousands. And Peter stands up after many marvel at the languages they're hearing and begins to explain what all this is about. That's the passage we'll be looking at today, starting in verse 14 in Acts chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.
En los postreros días, dice Dios, dará hambre de mi espíritu sobre toda carne. Y vuestros hijos y vuestras hijas profetizarán, vuestros jóvenes verán visiones y vuestros ancianos soñarán sueños.
In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams.
मैं अपने बंदों और अपनी बंदियों पर भी इन दिनों में अपने रूह में से डालूंगा और वो नबूवत करेंगी।
Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy.
Y daré prodigios arriba en el cielo, señales abajo en la tierra, sangre y fuego, vapor de humo.
I will show wonders in the heavens above. And signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and billows of smoke.
सूरज और तारे और चांद खुद आ जाएंगे, पेस्टक उससे खुदावन का जीम और लीम दिन आएंगे.
The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord.
Y todo aquel que invoque su nombre del Señor será salvo.
This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this, your word, and as we hear it today, so may we be reminded of what you have given to us in the Spirit and what you are calling us to do and be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you to our readers. Carlos Acosta was reading Spanish. Muzarat Shaheen was reading Urdu, the language of Pakistan. And David Zeladin was also reading Spanish. We all read that last verse together. It gives you a sense of the way it sounded that day as over 120 people were filled with the Spirit and began speaking other languages. And the people who were there for the feast, the thousands that had gathered from all the places, all different places in the Roman Empire, they were all Jewish, but they all grew up in other places and came here for the feast. And they heard their own languages coming from the mouths of people who were clearly locals and didn't know these languages. And they wondered what in the world was happening. Magnify that to 120 different languages being spoken, the kind of sound that would have been, the way that would have drawn attention. And Peter stands up to explain, some thought they were just all drunk. That would be pretty amazing if being drunk would suddenly make you fluent in another language. That would be amazing. Doesn't work that way, though. Peter stands up and tries to explain what they're all seeing and what they are witnessing, as he says, as he quotes from the prophet Joel, which is the part that we read for you. What they're witnessing is the fulfillment, the culmination of God's plan. God's plan to send the Spirit for the gathering of the nations. That's what God has done at Pentecost. And as you hear these languages, you can kind of see it's a sort of a reversal of an event that happens in the early chapters in Genesis, when at the Tower of Babel, all the languages are created, basically, to separate, to thwart the plans of humanity. And now in this event, as the Spirit has come miraculously, even all these different languages, they draw the people together. And the end result of this day is that 3,000, as the end of the chapter says, 3,000 people, about 3,000 it says, come to believe in Jesus Christ. God is fulfilling His plan, the sending of the Spirit for the gathering of the nations. That section in Joel that you were following along with is a prophecy of the last day. The day that will come when God will right all wrongs. He will eliminate and punish all evil. And as Joel gets closer to the end of his book and to the passage that is quoted here by Peter in Acts chapter 2, he begins to speak of how God will restore, how God will save, how God will act. And He will do it by giving the Spirit. The Spirit of God will be given not just to some, as it was in the Old Testament, to kings or prophets, but will be given to all. Your sons, your daughters, your young men and old men will see visions and dream dreams. All will prophesy, men and women, servants even, because the Spirit will be poured out. The day of the Lord is coming. And in that day, as it says in verse 23, the verse that we read all at once, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is God's plan. Next week, Erin will share with you more about her, or a lot about her Zambia trip. If you are on Facebook, if you find her on Facebook, you'll see a ton of pictures already that will give you a sense of what she experienced. She had a great opportunity, as I understand, as she has explained the work that she did there. Unlike a lot of short-term mission trips, she actually went out and her team were breaking new ground. We didn't hear from her at all because she was out, as she continually reminds us, out in the African bush. She was in villages where the gospel had not been preached before. In many of the places she went, it was really even the first time that they had seen white people, let alone heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They got to break new ground, to see what God was doing on the fringes as God's power confronted the powers of the gods that they worshipped. As they heard the good news, and as so many came to believe. The mission that she worked with sends teams out to share the gospel with these communities, and then tries to follow up by building up some who have converted to be leaders that will deepen the knowledge of the gospel there, and they seek to build that up in these remote villages. And this is God's plan. That's what Peter is saying on this day, that God's plan begins in a new way on Pentecost, is that all the world might know that Jesus is Lord. That all would know that Jesus died and rose, and He's even now ascended at the right hand of the Father. And that in Him there is forgiveness of sins, and there is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's God's plan. We wonder sometimes what God is up to, especially after a week like this where we see so many horrendous events taking place. We might just wonder, God, what are you doing? Are you doing anything? What are you doing up there? We don't really need to wonder, because God has been about doing what He has been doing for thousands of years. He's doing what Peter says He's doing here. He's seeking to spread the news that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is seeking to gather in the nations of all tongues, all races, all ethnicities, gathering them together to Jesus Christ. It is what Joel foresaw. And it is, as Peter unfolds the gospel here in this passage, it is what Jesus came to do. Peter continues on in that passage after he quotes from Joel, saying that this is the last day that God has given the Spirit He has promised to do. He goes back to Jesus. And hear how Peter unfolds the plan of God in these words as I continue reading in verse 22. Peter said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through Him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put Him to death by nailing Him to the cross." Do you hear that? Peter says, this was all part of God's plan. It was according to God's set purpose and foreknowledge that Jesus was killed. It was not unforeseen. It was not an accident to an otherwise successful life. Jesus came to die. Our entire plan of salvation rested on the fact that Jesus would be killed. There's something kind of pathetic about that. That God was so certain that when the Son of God took on flesh and lived among us, all these miracles, all these signs, doing all these wonders, He was so certain that the end result would be humanity's desire to kill Him, that He could bank on it. The entire plan assumed that when God is too close to us, we kill Him. And God was so certain of that, He planned for it. He knew it. And somehow He saved us in it. He goes on. It's not just His death that was foreseen and part of God's plan. As He says in verse 24, "But God raised Him from the dead, freeing Him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him." And He quotes Scripture. He says, "David said about Him," about Jesus, "I saw the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will You let Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence." He's quoting there from Psalm 16. And he says, this is not about David, this is about Jesus. See, it's all part of the plan. All thought out way, way long ago. Tells him in verse 21, 29. It says, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that He would place one of his descendants on His throne. And seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that He was not abandoned to the grave, nor did His body see decay. But God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact." This psalm written by David wasn't about him. He was speaking about Jesus. You see, this is all part of the plan. That Jesus would be not only killed, but then would be raised to life again. And we know it happened because, as he says, we saw it. I can tell you the stories. Going further in verse 33, it talks about the ascension of Jesus. He says, "Exalted to the right hand of God, He, Jesus, has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Again, he shows by quoting that psalm from David, where David says, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord said to my Lord. He wasn't talking about himself. Peter says he's talking about Jesus again. This is all part of the plan. And what you're seeing as the Spirit has been poured out upon us is proof that it all has happened. This is what God is up to. This is what He is doing. Therefore, he says in verse 36, Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The people were cut to the heart, it says, when they heard this. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replies, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why he came. That's why Jesus was fulfilling the plan of thousands of years before. That Jesus would come and would be killed, would rise again and ascend. Only to pour out the Holy Spirit. All this done so that we might be forgiven. Repent and believe. Repent and be baptized. You'll be forgiven. You'll be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what God is doing. It begins on that day. From this point on, as you can hear in this powerful preaching of Peter, the disciples will no longer be hiding in locked rooms, but will be proclaiming the gospel because of the power of the Spirit within them. Indeed, the promise, as Peter says in verse 39, is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And you and I, all of us, are part of that those who are far off. Because over those 2,000 years, the Spirit has been at work in the church, the followers of Jesus, to spread this news of forgiveness. And you and I know it because of that day in Jerusalem. Many other words, he warned them. And he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Indeed, many more have been added over the centuries. That's God's plan. It's still what he wants to continue. And we are the results of that plan. And we are the one through whom that plan will be fulfilled. By the power of the Spirit, with his presence, because of the plan of God for the gathering of the nations.